Hey guys, if you know me, you know I love to travel and you know I love to save money. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships. How to maximize points for real savings, not just free bottled water. How to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use, and so much more. They're doing great work over there. Check it out. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast.
The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Evelyn Mondo. Before we get to Evelyn, here's a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com. Go there. You'll see some photos of our guests. You'll see links to their social media. You'll see links to our social media, which is, of course, Instagram. Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. Give us a follow there, if you please. We have a Facebook page as well, but really, let's get those Instagram numbers up, shall we? If you stream us through Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts, please give us a good rating because that helps more people find the show. Boost our presence there. That'd be a cool thing for you to do. If you think you'd be right for the show, maybe you know somebody who'd be right for the show, or maybe you just want to write me and tell me I'm awesome, write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. All right, Evelyn Mondo. Evelyn is a French-Canadian who, like many people growing up and living the bulk of their lives in cold weather, she had a dream of one day owning a property in a beautiful tropical island. Well, lo and behold, it happened. She made it happen. She and her husband bought a property down in Barbados and turned it into a luxury rental property that, I'm not going to lie, judging from what she's told me and then checking out the photos, looks pretty amazing. So they've been down there since about 2017. They've navigated their way through COVID and everything else. And they're really making a go of it in their retirement life. And look, I'm not ready to retire just yet, but as I see it in the headlights coming at me, I'm always interested in ways people retire. And Evelyn's story interested me. If you want to check out her property in Barbados, you can go to CasablancaBarbados.com and see everything you want to see. It ain't cheap, I'm going to tell you that right now. But if you're a family or a group of people, it looks and sounds pretty sweet, I got to tell you. So let's head down to the tropics, shall we? Here's my chat with Evelyn Mondo. We're going to start in your history. You're in Barbados right now.
Yes.
And what is the temperature? If you could do it in Fahrenheit for us dumb Americans, that would be great.
Oh, my God. Fahrenheit. Hold on. I'm in Celsius. 33 Celsius.
Okay. I know that's hot. I do know that's hot.
It's hot. So you see I'm sweating. I'm sitting outside.
Oh, you're outside. Oh, that's nice.
Yes, I am outside. The ocean is just there.
Are you on your property?
I am not. I am in another property that we recently add to the main one. So, but it's also my home. So I recently moved to Barbados in June officially. So my home. Essentially, we purchased Casablanca at Sandy Lane was purchased in 2017. It was a dream for us to own something in the Barbados and in the Caribbean first. And we started to visit the Caribbean and establish that Casablanca, or I would say Barbados, was our destination. And once we were in Barbados, we started to look for a smaller property. And essentially what happened is the local people who were already living on the island started to explain to us that the way of living, it's much easier if you have a larger property. Even if the maintenance fees are bigger than a small one, The advantage is that you can rent it and you can generate some kind of revenue from your rental that will absorb the fees that the maintenance is generating.
You were looking for a house?
No, I was looking for a small apartment.
Oh, wow.
It's a villa. So it's okay. Okay. So what happened is that we kind of changed the focus of what we were looking at, looking for something a little bit bigger with a landscape and something that could be interesting to rent. So my focus went from what I like to what people likes that I like to.
So, right.
Okay. And then what happened is we started to looking very differently, and also all my dreams that I had accumulated about, oh, it would be so nice if I had a bed and breakfast. Oh, I like to cook. Oh, I like, suddenly everything came to me. And I was like, okay, I think we can do something interesting with that concept. And I came for a week on the island, started to look for properties, didn't find what I was looking for. A friend of mine called me about 2 weeks after and say, I think there's something on the market that you will really like. So he sent me pictures and I flew back to Barbados, visited the property, and we decided that that was it.
So you say we, is this you and your partner or your husband?
Yeah,
okay.
My husband.
And you were living where? I heard you were Canadian. Is that true?
We're Canadian. At that time, we were living in Western Canada.
Oh, Western Canada. Okay.
Yeah, we were living in Western Canada.
I was trying to pick out the accent, so I thought maybe Quebec.
Yes. I was born in Eastern Canada, in Quebec.
Ah, okay, there we go.
But I moved to Western Canada for work purposes.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah. So that's it. So I was by myself. I walked into throughout the gate of the property, and I said, "Yep, that's it. That's it. We found it." So
yeah. So was this I don't know what business you were in before. You could say were you in hospitality before? Did you ever work at nothing? So this is a big. What kind of work did you do, or you and your husband do before this?
Okay, so. Let's talk about mine, because from the beginning, my husband said, this is your project. So,
Okay.
So essentially, my background, my first diploma was in chemistry. And
wow.
I worked for 15 years as a chemist in a paint company. And then after that, I was a teacher, science teacher in a private school. And then I moved back to school, did a master in library and information studies and a PhD also in information knowledge management. So very far from the hospitality side. That being said, I was also a mother of three. I was also in my family, the third grandkids. 53, yes, 53.
53 grand. You're one of 53 grandkids.
I'm the number 53.
Wow, the last of, wow, okay, the baby of them all.
Yeah, so big group, cooking, family gathering, I know what it is. And I was a PA for many, many years. So traveling in all different condition is effectively something that teach you a lot about hospitality, what works, what doesn't work, how it should be, restaurants, activities, maintenance. So because I did that, because of my background, I felt that I had a lot of tools in my bag that could make me do what I wanted to do with Casablanca.
Well, you talk about travel in your work before this. What are some of those places you traveled to? Because I understand there were some pretty exotic places.
For the work, we were covering Europe, US, Mexico, Canada, from one ocean to the other. Meaning small hotel, big hotel, very luxurious one, very not luxurious one. So I would say, I think I've seen it all.
Okay. Well, okay. I mean, when you were, which kind of work were you doing when you were doing the most traveling?
Most of the traveling when it was for as a PA, it's essentially you get to a place, you need the CEO to be functional. What does it mean?
Internet. Oh, you were a personal assistant.
Yeah. So you need to make sure that everything is working, you know?
Sure.
Is the internet working, the line working, the phone working, is it connecting? These days, it seems very easy because our phone connects quite
everywhere around the world, yeah.
Yeah. Go back 10 years ago, you had to change
I remember those days.
Yeah, you have to change the SIM, you have to connect. They speak in a different language, you don't know how to connect, but you know you're not connecting.
Yeah.
You needed to find fax machine. You needed to find printer. You needed you have to find the clients because they're not in the right hotel. There, anything you can do to make it work.
Right.
As a personal traveler, I was always trying to find places where I can resource myself. What I found out, what works for me, and I know it's not working for everybody, but what I found out is that small ship cruises was perfect for me. Don't have to think about anything. They feed you. They make sure that, you have activities. You make sure they bring you in very special place. My favorite ones being the expedition style ones. So, Alaska was my first one. The last one was this summer when I did Hudson Bay, Nunavik.
Oh, yeah. Way up north in Canada. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was on Silver Sea.
Oh, Silver Sea. Okay. I make a lot of, I perform on cruise ships a lot these days, but I don't do the smaller ones. I've done some of the smaller ones, but when you say small, about how many passengers? More of the luxury ones?
Yeah, luxury one, 100, and this one was 169.
Ooh, small. Yeah, that is small.
169. And I don't know if you ever seen Silver Sea ones, but the way they do, you have effectively lots of people coming over, talk to you about what you saw, what's the history, what's the geology. So for me, it's my way to disconnect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think you like cruises much because, as someone who was always, you have to take care of everything. Like when you work in hospitality and as a personal assistant, you always had to take care of everything. Now it's like, I don't want to take care of anything.
That's exactly.
Okay.
The best description of it is bring me somewhere where, first of all, the connection are not very good. For example, when we were at Sun Bay, we had internet, but no WhatsApp video. No,
sure, yeah.
Just enough to be able to communicate so people still know that if there's an emergency, they can reach you, but not enough to go at your computer, at your phone. And it was true for everybody on the cruise. So for 2 weeks, people were talking to each other. They were not looking at their phone. They were using their phone as a camera, but not using their phone. So it's very refreshing to become humans again.
Yeah, that's right. Old school, when we actually talk to people.
Exactly.
Did you see any good animals in the Hudson Bay?
Naturally.
What did you see?
Polar bear are...
Whoa! Polar bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, naturally.
See, I've never seen one in the wild. What was that like?
No. Yeah, I did one a few years back. I did the Arctic, Svalbard coast and everything. I had a chance to see a few there. But this time in Canada, we saw a few. It was fun.
And they're huge, right? They're really big.
They're big. you don't want them to be close, for sure.
Right.
You need a good camera to take the picture, I would say that. But they're very, very impressive. Very impressive.
How about whales? Have you done any, see a lot of whales up there? Sure.
Yeah, a lot of whales, yes. Especially in Churchill.
Okay.
It's hundreds of beluga, so it's kind of, you look out of your window and there's hundreds of them in front of you. That's very amazing.
That sounds cool.
Caribou, what else? Different kind of birds, seals. So, yeah, it's... But the landscape is spectacular, spectacular. That's the whole thing.
Have you done Antarctica yet? Because I did one cruise down there. Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah.
Who was that? I performed on a seaborne ship down there, which is a smaller ship.
Okay, so
who were you with down there? Yeah, it was very, yeah. I didn't pay for it. They paid me, which was nice. That's the way to do it.
I was still on Silver Sea when I did it.
Oh, that's nice too. That's very nice.
Yeah, it was a Silver Endeavor. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Silver Endeavor, I did Antarctica. Silver Endeavor, I did the one this summer, the Hudson Bay one. So same captain, same ship.
Yeah, right. No polar bears, but lots of penguins. Lots of penguins.
Oh, yes. Yes, lots of them. And you can smell them from afar.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you can. That a smell will never come off your boots. That's why they give you the boots.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you have a future one in mind? I mean, on my bucket list, I would say I still haven't been to the Galapagos. Have you seen that?
Done.
You did? Oh, you beat me there. Okay. When did you go there?
Last summer.
Wow.
Last summer, again, Silver Sea. Silver Sea is my go-to. So amazing.
Yeah.
Again, what was, I think, the most amazing thing about the Galapagos is the fact the birds, and mainly birds, are not afraid of human. And because of that, when you get on one of the island, any island, in fact, the birds will be beside you, and they don't go away. They're just there, and they look at you and say, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" It's pretty much that. And funny enough, when I was getting ready for that cruise, I was thinking buying a new lenses because I said, "Okay, we're going to see a lot. We will see a lot of birds. So I want to make sure I have the good lens." I ordered it, but it was back order. So I left without having my lens, and I was kind of disappointed. And on the cruise, there was a lot of Asian people with those big, big, big lenses,
right,
taking pictures. And funny enough, I realized that you don't need a big lenses when you go to the Galapagos.
Because you can walk right
like
close.
They're so close that...
That's a good tip.
That's a good lens. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah.
So funny enough, if you go into Galapagos, bring your 200 and you'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another tip I've learned. If you're on a ship like, say, you know, in Alaska or any place, you know, on safari in Africa or something, and everybody's got these big giant lenses to see the animals.
Yeah.
If you strike up a friendship with them, just go, "Hey, could you email me some of those photos? Because we're looking at the same thing and you can see it a lot better than me." So, and if they're nice enough, it's like, "Yeah, give me your email." And I've gotten great photos that way. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, what they did for the last cruises, and I found it very useful, and they had a computer, a share computer. At the end of the day, you could go download the picture you took. So if anyone wanted one of your picture, they could take it and bring it home. So that was a good way also, because that's true. When you're 169 people watching at one thing and someone has those big, big lenses, then why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you're a professional photographer and going to sell your pictures, just give it to all of us. You know, if you're going to post it on social media anyway, I'll take it. You know, so if let's get to so when did you fully retire from your work, and when did you decide, okay, I'm going to make this dream happen?
Yeah, I would talk about the retirement as a couple retirement, because my husband and I kind of are very Osmotic, we work together a lot.
Yeah.
So the official retirement date was last December.
Okay.
That being said, for the last 7 years, I was mixing my daily activities and the management of Casablanca at Sandy Lane. So that's what I was doing. And I was coming in Barbados the first few years. I was coming in Barbados every 2 months, spending a week. Okay. So, and I would use, thanks WhatsApp and all the social tools that you can use to communicate with people. So that's what I was doing. And then naturally COVID hit.
Sure.
So I was 18 months not being able to come over. So teams, and I have a wonderful team at Casablanca. The chef, the butler, the housekeepers, the property manager, the concierge, they are all locals. And during that time, we were, you know, FaceTime, any social media that would work at that time, we would use it. And we were one of the villa that decided to keep all our staff. What my husband and I decided is, okay, our vacation money will be in part, because naturally will be used, we're not traveling, so we will use that for our staff. And what we decided to do is to sit with the staff and make a list of, okay, what needs to be fixed? What can we improve? What is the big challenges we have on the villa? And we made that list, and every week we would sat and discuss, okay, what did we accomplish this week? What needs to be done next week? And it worked. It worked very, very well.
So let's talk about Barbados in particular, because there are a lot of Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
And you could have gone to many others.
Yeah.
And now, correct me, I don't know as much about it. Is it part of the Commonwealth, Barbados?
No, it's separate.
It is.
Years ago, I think, yeah.
Okay. So I didn't know if it's because you were Canadian, maybe that was better or easier for visa purposes or anything like that. Or why Barbados as opposed to one, the Virgin Islands or something?
First of all, if you look at the map where it's located, it's not in the Hurricane Belt.
It's not in the Hurricane Belt. Yeah, okay.
No.
That's good.
So that's very good. So on the investment point of view, it's major. The second thing is the fact that the literacy of the people on the island is quite high, making, you know, the communication between people very easy. And people are very tourist-oriented. They understand that Barbados is living of tourism. And because of that, it's very easy to integrate yourself into the community. And so these are all, I made a list, in fact, when we were looking for a place. I said, okay, it needs to be a place where we feel comfortable. We need a place where we're not worried every day, you know, during the hurricane season, are we going to be destroyed by the hurricane? The people, can I communicate very easily? Also, the culture is very, even if we're not in the Commonwealth anymore, the culture is anchored because of its history to the British culture. I love London. I love UK. I go there every time I can. So for me, being in Barbados is just a little bit of that.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Because I've been to both. I've been to Barbados and I've also been to Bermuda, which Bermuda seems much more British. You know, you go there and it's like, oof, man, you just want to go to the pub, really. And, you know, it's just, it's very British. But Barbados, I didn't get that feel that much. I mean, it just seemed more like, you know, a Caribbean island, you know, just kind
it
of a
is
typical
a Caribbean
one.
Island. Exactly.
But you also have to consider, you know, I don't want to stereotype or anything, but I've known people who've started businesses down there, and crime can be an issue and local corruption and things like that. I'm sure you looked into all that as well before.
Yeah, but Barbados is, as I said, is an easy country. I would say. It's an easy country. And it's beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I remember Rihanna is the queen down there from what I remember.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
They named a street after her when I was there by the cruise port.
Yeah, but, you know, it's for French-Canadian, we have Céline Dion.
Exactly.
So,
well, you have to get both of them to stay at your hotel. That would be nice.
No, but as I said, it's fair.
Every
country is proud of people who are so success is always a good.
And I think I remember from Barbados from the last Olympics there was a young woman who was like a sprinter who won the gold medal or something. So she was a big deal last time I was there as well.
Yeah, the last Olympic. Yeah.
She's a big star. Yeah. So you look at this property. You find this property.
Yeah.
When was it built? How old was it? What kind of shape was it in? And why this one as opposed to a different property?
Okay. Casablanca was built in the 70s when the Sandy Lane Estate was established. And to locate Sandy Lane Estate is on the west side of the island, about in the middle of the west coast.
Okay, so Sandy Lane Estate was a private residence by some rich person?
It's Sandy Lane Estate is a group of different properties that are it would call it in the U.S. a gated community.
Okay,
but it's not gated. It's
okay.
And it's open, but it's a community. Essentially, Casablanca is one of the property on this community, which is also in the middle of the Old Nine Gulf, which is one of the oldest golf on the island.
Oh, it's on a golf course.
It's on a golf course.
Lovely.
Yeah. And so built in the 70s, went through few renovation from the prior owners. One of major renovation from the owner who owned the villa before us. When we purchased it, it was, I would say, in fair condition, but needed love.
Sure, yeah.
Why Casablanca? Because the moment the gate opened, and I will send you a few pictures, the moment you open the gate, you have those big palm trees all over. You have a very luxurious garden. And the sound is amazing. Just the wind in the trees, the birds, the flowers. So you're not in the house yet that you feel there's something special here.
Lovely. So how many buildings were there? Like that you have?
Okay, so you have the main house, and the main house has 5 bedrooms, 1 media room, and you have what we call common area where you have 2 living room and a bar and the kitchen, and it's all open. So you walk from the front door, which is in fact the back door because the front door is supposed to be on the golf, but you come from the door. And it's all open, and you have a very long pool that 25 meters that allows you to do what you want.
Oh, lovely.
Swim or train or lose your calorie or your energy. I said 25 meters, but that's not true. Hold on. 44 feet.
That's okay. You don't have to. Anyway. We'll take meters. Anyway. I'll accept meters.
Okay, so... So you have that long pool with still, again, the garden and the view on the golf. So so the house, that's the main building. And then you have a cottage with 2 bedrooms, which is a separate building where it has its own small kitchen and own deck. And you also have your own tennis court, paddle, tennis, or any racket sports you want to play on there. We have a gym. We have a ping pong table. We have so a lot of activities on site, and you have about 9,500 square feet to play around. So it's big enough that because you can sleep 14 people in total. So it means as much as you love your friends or family, sometimes you need some privacy. So it's the 2 acres of garden.
2 acres. Wow.
Yes. Right.
So big main house and a small cottage.
Cottage. Yeah.
Okay. So how many of your 52 fellow grandchildren have come to visit?
I don't have 52 grandchildren.
I mean, your fellow grand, well, your fellow, your other, you know, siblings, yeah. I should say, but cousins.
My grandkids, I have 7 grandkids.
Okay. They I bet they have. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone with a big family growing up, you probably see this property and going, oh, this would have been perfect for us growing up as children. You would have loved it, right?
Yeah, but my grandmother was on a farm, so we had a lot
perfect.
Of space.
Yeah, much colder, though, probably. So
yes,
do most people, when they get the property, do you have to, when you rent the property, can you rent one building or the other? Can I just rent the small cottage or it all at once, both buildings?
You have 2 options. You can rent the big house, 5 bedrooms, and not the cottage. So you can either rent for 5 bedrooms or 7 bedrooms.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I've talked to a number of innkeepers in the past on this show. I interviewed a woman from Texas who ran a hotel in Greece, in the Greek islands. And she learned a lot. She had never owned a property before and never been in hospitality. And there's a big learning curve. If you could start again, what would you do differently?
Oh my God. You know, I'm the kind of person who don't go back on that curve because you need a learning curve.
Sure.
In everything. What I would do differently. Whew.
You would prevent a pandemic, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Prevent the pandemic. I would, you know, building the team is, I would say, a building is a building.
Sure.
And during the pandemic, I learned something very important because all the conference about tourism, hospitality, they were all free during the COVID. And being a villa, but a small business, most of these very prestigious conference, actually, I cannot afford to go there. So during COVID, every invitation I had, I registered. And I went to all those virtual conference and one day I was listening to one of them where the president of the hotel, Hard Rock Cafe. Hotel.
Oh, the Hard Rock. Yeah, sure.
So he was doing a presentation and at one point he said, everybody has a roof, everybody has a pool, everybody is either close to an attraction or the ocean. So what do you have to offer? Who are you? Define yourself. And for me, that was an eye-opener. So the first 2 years, my focus was on the building, on making sure, and it's important. I don't say it's not important. It's very important. But, you know, making sure that you have the right colors and the right fabrics and the right curtain and the right. And I had very good staff, as I said, but building a team with a cohesive vision about your vision and what is your vision of hospitality? What exactly do you want people to have when they come to Casablanca? And suddenly, it was a learning curve in the sense that I had to switch from a mode where you walk into an hotel, like you don't even need now to go to the counter. You take your phone, you open, you sleep, you wake up, you take your suitcase, you go back to the airport. You didn't have any connection except you had a roof, a bed, and it was so. The shift from the building to a feeling,
Okay,
that,
I see.
That was my learning curve. Yeah.
Well, the hardest thing for me, I mean, you and I, we come from a generation that maybe doesn't know marketing in the digital age and social media and getting your website right, you know, getting the right look, the right photos, the right images, how much to post, where to post, where do you advertise, you know, that would be the hardest thing for me. You know, was that the hardest thing for you? And how do you navigate things like Airbnb or Vrbo or all these different booking sites and people giving reviews? People giving reviews, you know, then they can give you a bad review and then you have to worry about that. That would be the hardest thing for me. How do you deal?
Okay. From my previous job, what I learned is I'm no expert in everything. And the best thing you can give yourself is the humility to hire someone that is much better than you. So because of that, right from the beginning, I never tried to be someone who knew about everything you just described, social media, internet, and the comments. And also, I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing with the right budget, because as you probably know, in those things you can spend so much money and lose yourself that you need someone that you have enough confidence that they will say, no, don't go there, or no, do not spend your money there, or please just follow me in my vision for that. And you say, okay, you're the expert, I will follow you. So from the beginning, I was lucky enough to find people like that. And I call them my marketing manager because that's what they are. And we are in constant exchange and ask them, you know, advice, and they will coach me. And so you cannot be good at everything. So I try to be good as a leader and have the right people around me. That's pretty much it.
So when people book Casablanca, do most book through these sites like Airbnb and Vrbo and Hotels.com and things like that? Or do they go to the website and book directly through you?
I would say it's a little bit different because of the segment where we are. We are in the luxury segment. So because of that, often people have already their agent. So it's a transaction that will go between agent. As I said, I'm not good in everything. So I do have an agent that represent me and will deal with all those rental issues. And I will explain also the good aspect of it after. But essentially, agent to agent, or people will call directly Casablanca, and I will refer those people to my agent. And why is it important to have an agent? Because AI, because so many different scams on the internet, that you have to make sure that you're talking to the people who are really representing the property. And I'm not just talking about Casablanca. I'm talking in general. Just make sure you talk to the right people. You will send a deposit. You will. It's a transaction, and you need to make sure you do the right thing. The other thing is that agents are supposed to not only take your dates, they're also supposed to ask you, what do you want? Because as a vacation, because a villa like Casablanca, our villa, is not selling just a roof. We're selling an experience. As I said, we have a staff. I have a chef on site. I have a butler. I have a gardener. I have two housekeepers. I have a concierge. So those people, especially the concierge, will come to the table at the beginning to ask you, what are you expecting from your vacation? What is it? Do you have any food allergy? So these are all the things that people who are renting the villa or renting Casablanca should expect.
So when you say, I know you have this great staff and there's a butler and a chef and all this other stuff, but can people say we want three meals a day, or we just want breakfast, or we like to cook ourselves? I mean, can they do all that?
Essentially, the chef is there, three meals a day, your choice, allergy taken care of, different gluten-free or things like that also. People who are coming to Casablanca, especially because often it's groups, don't want to cook. They, at the beginning, they often think they will go to a restaurant most of the night and use the chef for, you know, one, the breakfast and the lunch. But the food is so good, and I'm telling you, it's very, very good. So the food is so good that people often cancel the restaurants.
Yeah.
That's it.
And plus, you know, the privacy is good, and also you're in the heat all day doing things, and then you get back, and you're just like, oh, I don't want to go out. And it's easy to stay together, and yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
is the typical person, or the typical guest you have, is it mostly families, or do you get, like, I don't know, corporate groups or things?
Everything. I would say the most popular ones are family gathering, friends gathering. These are the most popular ones. Celebrating something special or just celebrating friendship. These are the most common profile. But we had corporate, we had weddings, we had a group of girlfriends celebrating cancer-free of one of them.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
So I assume I guess around Christmas and New Year's are probably the busiest time. And
yes.
And the winter, you know, when people are trying to get away. Is there a price difference if people want to go, you know, it's like, yeah, I want a cheaper time, maybe the summer or what's difference?
Essentially, you have three different brackets. And it is true for any property in Barbados. You have what the Christmas or Christmas time. Very, very busy time, very expensive or more expensive time. That's the reality of Barbados. People like to celebrate Christmas in Barbados. second bracket would be winter, high season, where you have naturally people who are trying to escape the winter and they want to go to a place they know the temperature is nice. And Barbados is very, very nice during winter. And the last one is summer and the beginning of fall. I think these are the low season. Lots of family will take their vacation to be at the beach and to be in a place where the temperature is quite uniform in Barbados, 25 in the evening, 33 at the day. That's it. That's why it rains half an hour and the sun is back. I'm sitting outside right now and the sun is amazing and I'm sweating, but I don't care. And
I can't even tell. I can't even tell from him. So how far from the beach are you?
Okay. So Casablanca is a 5 to 10 minute walk from the beach. We have access to a private beach club for the owners of the estate. So once you decide to go to the beach, we'll make sure that you access the cabana where you keep all your stuff. You can leave it there for the old stay so you don't have to bring it back to the villa. There's at the beach club itself, there's a small restaurant, there's a small bar. So if you want to stay there all day, you can purchase things and stay there. But if you prefer to bring sandwiches, then the chef will prepare something, a picnic, and you can bring it over. So a lot of people just walk back to the villa, spend the lunchtime refreshing, having a nice meal and go back in the afternoon. So
yeah, if it's only 5 minutes, I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
So let's talk access to it. I know most Caribbean airlines, because I have to travel there a lot, everything has a direct flight to Miami, but where else is easy to fly? Do they have any other direct flights to the States or to Canada, to Barbados? Or do you pretty much have to go through Miami all the time? Oh, New York has direct flights.
Yeah.
Oh,
New York
has
direct flight. You have to look at the calendar for the other city, because it's kind of, it changes all the time. You used to have a direct flight for Fort Lauderdale. You have one for a while in
maybe Dallas.
Dallas,
Houston, once. Maybe. Okay.
And they kind of, comes and go depending of
the season.
The season and the company. They change their direction all the time. Direct flight from Toronto, direct flight from London.
London. Wow. All right.
Yeah. A lot of the people who are visiting Barbados, the crowd is very British at one point in time, especially Christmas. It's a Christmas destination for the Brits. So, yeah. So daily flight in London, Manchester during the high season, Montreal during the high season. So yeah,
that's pretty good.
Easy access.
Yeah. And there's cricket there. So the Brits love that too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we have something special organized by our concierge. If you want to give you a treat when you visit Casablanca, you can ask for a VIP arrival. And essentially, someone will wait for you at the bottom of the stairs, and you'll go to the private jet center instead of going with the crowded airport. And you go through all the security there, and then you wait there in their lounge while someone recuperates your luggage, and the taxi waits for you. And the minute you have your luggage, our taxi driver will bring you directly to a beautiful BMW, directly to the villa. So it's very effective, very comfortable, very...
That sounds great. How long a drive to the airport?
25 minutes.
Oh, not bad. Okay, that's not bad.
No.
Oh, man. Well, this sounds lovely. Now I'm going to have to go.
Yes.
At least if I'm there on a cruise stop, we'll have to have lunch or something.
Oh, for sure.
If you're there. Because,
there's a few cruise ships.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I've seen those. I've been that guy coming in on the cruise ship every once in a while. But how, I'll ask you about this, because since you do cruise and you're not, a lot of locals can be anti-cruise people. It's a mixed reaction of what cruise ships can bring to a port. A lot of them, they're sold, the cruise ships sell the locals on, everybody's going to make money. And the locals say, no, a lot of the locals are not making money from these cruise ships. So what do you see?
Yeah. I think there's a good about cruise ship coming over, because it brings a lot of activities. It forces people to be creative with all those people that are coming in. I think the challenge is to manage the energy that is coming from that. I can see it from my home trips too. You're invading the privacy of a village or a small municipality or a little town. Suddenly, especially with the big cruise ship where they have 3,000 people or a town arrive in town.
Yeah, it's like the city population doubles in a day. It's crazy. Yeah,
for 8 hours. But how this impact for us as owners, we're not touched by that directly. I think some business have very good advantage of seeing those cruise ship arrive. We only had, I would say, one issues for on our side is the fact that a big population of green monkeys lives on the estate, and monkeys are like penguins in Antarctica. You know, it makes right. smile everybody, and everybody wants to see them. Because of that, you know, there's suddenly people coming on the estate, and they want to feed the monkey. The issue. Feeding the monkey brings for the people who lives on the estate a challenge, because once they've been fed, they want to continue to receive those treats, and they can come in your house. It's a challenge for that. I won't lie. It's something that is discussed regularly among the owners on the estate, because it brings a challenge regarding that. People would prefer to see them in wild.
Exactly. Don't feed the monkeys, people. Don't go there and feed the monkeys.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But listen, I've been in Quebec. I don't know if you know Quebec City, but
yeah, beautiful.
When a ship's arrive in Quebec City, suddenly, you know,
you can't walk.
It's different. Quebec City is suddenly very different.
Yes.
But it is what it is.
Is that where you lived for a long time, Quebec City?
No, I was in Montreal area. Yeah.
They're both great towns. I love that city. Because I did that cruise from Boston to Montreal a couple times. So I did that, and we would stop in Quebec City and then Montreal, which was...
Yeah.
What a cute town, Quebec City. It's so European looking, you know?
Yeah.
It's so great.
With the walls. And
You would think you were in Europe. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
What do you miss the most about Quebec? The bagels?
No.
The hockey? The hockey? What?
Hockey is good. bagels are very good. Smoked meats are incredible.
Smoked meats, that's the other one. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But I would say it's funny because I had to move a few times in my life. And what is the most challenging for me, but it's personal, is to adapt to the season of the food.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because... Quebec is a place where you grow a lot of different fruit and veggies, and you also have the lobster season. And so you have a lot, the food calendar has a lot to offer. And you don't realize that until you leave. And suddenly you move to a place where the calendar is totally different.
Right.
And where is your anchors? Where are the strawberries? Where are the blueberries? Where is the corn? Why can I have any lobster? Mussels, where are the mussels?
Yeah.
So you start looking to your food anchors. And for me, I never thought about that until I moved. It's...
Wow. And wine.
Wine follow me everywhere. And by the way...
yeah. I
by
bet.
The way... At Casablanca, we have an agreement with an amazing company called Alfred, which have access to very private collections, owners ready to sell the most delicious wine, rare wine, exclusive wine in the world.
Wow.
So if you're a wine lover, we have a exclusive wine list for you. And if you're a very big wine lover, we make sure you get the list prior to your arrival so we can bring some bottle that you're dreaming to drink. We also have a sommelier that is available virtually that can explain what you're drinking and what is the bottle you have. And he can coach the chef to make the perfect meal so you can, you know, a pair your meal and your wine. So that's something wine, sure.
All right. What about Barbados food? Is there something we need to try if we go there?
Naturally.
The seafood, I assume.
Seafood, fish, flying fish, mahi-mahi, piranha, barracuda, one of the only places in the world you can eat barracuda because of something special. There's seafood for sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they have their own comfort food, which is macaroni pie, that is comfort food. It's fun to have. And then a nice glass of rum.
Rum, spice sure. Rum. Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, you've taken on a big project here. I mean, it sounds lovely. And your husband, has he gotten more involved, or is he still, no, this is your thing, you deal with it?
Yeah, no. He's in the background. he's always aware of what is happening. But our philosophy with every project that we share is there's only one chef in the kitchen.
Okay. Well, let's do the promotion now. So what is the website and where can people find you? And are you on social media, Instagram and all the other stuff?
Yeah, we are on Instagram, Facebook. The website is CasablancaBarbados.com. So this is mainly where you can find us. And from there, phone number, email, directly to me. So once I receive it, just let me know what you are dreaming, the dates, and what exactly you want to do, and I'll make sure that our agent will connect with you. And our rental manager, she's amazing. Amazing. She will do everything to make sure you have your dream vacation.
Great. And Evelyn, finally, what do you think all this, the travel that you've done over the years and experiencing living in different places and seeing different cultures, what has it taught you about people and as what has it taught you as a person? What has, and how you view the world?
Yeah, I'm first of all, I'm a very positive person. I believe in people. I truly believe that traveling opened the eye of what humanity is about. So you can do it in a luxurious way. You can do it in with your backpack and walking. But I think traveling is one of the best school of life. News, social media likes to bring in front of you the beautiful thing that you need to purchase or the things that are not beautiful that needs to avoid. But there's a middle. What can you offer yourself? Well, we were talking at the beginning and you were asking what I have from that. I think the first time I traveled and I realized that I was traveling just to admire the beauty of the world was the most beautiful gift I made to myself.
That's perfect.
And people travel a lot, and I wish for them to get that feeling one day. That's all.
Yes, and never lose it, because you're always, there's always something in the world that can amaze you.
Yeah, you won't see everything.
Yeah, right.
Start with that. You won't see everything, but what you're seeing, just enjoy it.
Perfect.
Just enjoy. Look at the people. Look at their smile, their eyes. They're proud, and it's amazing. We were talking about my last cruise, and we stopped at a small village, and they were so proud to serve us. Whales and seal and skin of something, and I was like, at the beginning, I was like, I don't want to eat that. And I explained to them that I'm not comfortable to eat that. And they said, it's okay, but we are very proud to show you what we are eating and how we are living. And we understand that we're not aligned. We don't have the same habits, but we are. So you can have two attitudes. Say, I will never eat that. That's okay. Or you can explain that you're not comfortable to eat it, but they're still proud to show it to you, to explain to you. So I think that, for me, that's the greatest gift for when you go through any travel. And doesn't need to be a very exotic place. It can be anywhere.
That's great. Great. Well, Evelyn, it has been a pleasure to meet you. So the website again is CasablancaBarbados.com. And one day I will be there and we will look at the monkeys together.
Don't feed them.
Don't feed the monkeys, everyone. Go to Casablanca, but don't feed the monkeys.
Exactly.
So thank you, Evelyn. And it was great talking to you. And stay cool down there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For spontaneous travelers, Winging It is the perfect listen. James Hammond shares stories and tips from 75-plus countries. Find it at voyescape.com.